Luke chapter 15. And this is one you're familiar with, I'm sure. If not, you were in for a treat. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." Verse 17, "But when he came to himself," everybody say, "when he came to himself." Louder. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Don't you just love that parable? I feel like we could just read that parable in church and go home, because that just speaks God all over it, doesn't it? You know, and I know you know this well. And like I say, if you don't know it, you're in for a treat today, amen. But we've all read it. A lot of us have read it a lot of times. We've had a lot of teaching on it. It's probably the most famous of Jesus' parables. I'd say it's right up there with the Good Samaritan. And you know, the prodigal son. Even non-Christian people will use the term the prodigal son because they know what it is. And this man has two sons, and the younger one comes to him looking for his share of the inheritance. And you know what? He's looking for his share of the inheritance before his time. He's basically insulting his father, isn't he? He's basically saying to his father, "I wish you were dead." He doesn't use those words, but this is what the bottom line is, really. He wants what he should get when the father passes, but he wants it now. And we know the story. The father gives him his share and he leaves. He leaves the father. And this is important. He left, okay? He is living with the source and he leaves. He is living at the well and he leaves. He leaves, okay? So he cuts himself off from the source. He cuts himself off from the well. He leaves home. He puts his bag on his back and he goes. And while he's away, he squanders his inheritance, the Bible says, on reckless living. We can only imagine, okay? He finds himself with nothing and no one. He has nothing and nobody, okay? And sure enough, when he's down with nothing and nobody, a famine arrives in the land. And he begins to be in need. Now, you see, this is what the enemy will do. If he can get you away from the source, if he can get you away from the well, he will bring you down. Yeah. And he won't hesitate about it. Amen. And this is what's happened this young boy here. The enemy has taken him away from the source. He's taken him away from the well. And now he's down. He's down in the dumps. He's nothing. He is no one. And now all of a sudden, a famine comes on the land. And the Bible says he begins to be in need. Okay, so the enemy now not only has him down, but he's added that other punch. Okay, he ends up in a field looking after pigs. How gross is that? I believe that's even gross for a man, like to have to look after pigs, okay? It's gross. And he ends up there nothing to eat himself. But then one day, the Bible says, he came to himself. He came to himself. Praise God, amen. It's like one day, all of a sudden, the light went off. One day, all of a sudden, he remembered. He remembered. He remembered what life was like in his father's house. He remembered what life was like at the well. He remembered what life was like when he was connected to the source. He remembered the food he had. He remembered the comfort he had. He remembered the protection he had. He remembered the access he had. He had forgotten all that. But now he remembers and he's heading home, okay? And this is the part we all love of the parable, isn't it? The reason this parable is so well read and so well taught, it's like this. It's because when he returns home, the father is waiting for him with open arms. And not just with open arms. The Bible actually says that he ran to meet him when he saw him coming. And he embraced him and kissed him. He's so delighted, you know, and more genuine than Frankie in the middle. But this is such a picture of God, isn't it? This is a picture of our Father in heaven, waiting for his children to come back, waiting with open arms for his children to come back to the well, to come back to the source. And this part of the parable gives us a warm feeling, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You're with me this morning, yes? You get a warm feeling when you read that. You'd have to. You're not human if you don't, amen? The younger son, you know, he comes to his senses, he comes home, and we love that the father displays such forgiveness and acceptance and compassion. And you know, this is a great story for believers, but it's also a great story to teach unbelievers, amen? Because this is what happened, amen? The father should show such love and compassion and forgiveness. It's a great teaching, and it's right, and we should see all that. But there is so much more in this passage, church. Amen? There is so much more. We can learn all that about forgiveness, acceptance, compassion, but there is so much more to learn. Amen? When we begin to unpack this parable, there is so much more. And that's what happened to me when I read this again. God just showed me so much more. I don't know if any of you saw the program last weekend about the house that's been restored here in Enniscorthy. Yeah? Lillian, good Enniscorthy girl, see? There's a lovely period home at the top of the town, and it had fell into disrepair. And so the new owners took it. It's the man that owns it now actually grew up in it. And he put himself out financially to buy back the family home, basically. So he had lots of, you know, nice memories there. So he's decided to restore it. So the program obviously went through his restoration journey, if you like. But anyway, what I loved about it was, this is what I'm talking to you about when we unpack things. He came across a false ceiling in one of the rooms, and it was damp and it had begun to rot, so he decided he needed to take it down. And when he removed the false ceiling, what was behind it? Wasn't it, Lillian? This beautiful, small but beautiful chapel. The original owners, the house had been built in the 1800s, and they had built a chapel, a church, into their house. Can you believe that? I was like, oh, I want that church. And fair play to the man, fair play. You know, people try and say that God is not relevant anymore and all this, but he did a beautiful job on restoring that church. He got more furniture for it, and more seats and all that sort of stuff. He cleaned it up. It's absolutely beautiful now. So I say fair play to him. But what I wanted you to see there is more treasure. When you scratch, 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 you will find more treasure. Amen? And that's what's happened to me with this parable. There is so much more in here. So much more. And I want to home in on one today. And that's the fact that I got you to repeat. He came to himself. You see, as I thought about this passage recently, I realized the fact that the son had forgotten. Yeah. He had forgotten. He walked away and he forgot. Amen? The life he was living, all the to-ing and fro-ing and the backwards and forwards with that life had caused him to forget. He forgot who he was and he forgot what he had. He had thrown it away. He had allowed himself, because he had forgotten who he was and what he had, he allowed himself to be used and abused. Amen? He had forgotten whose son he was. He had forgotten how loved he was, how treasured he was. And then one day, he finds himself at rock bottom, and praise God, the light goes off, and he remembers. He remembers. But even in his remembering, his memory is still a little bit fuzzy. Because he remembers, yes, what's at home, what he had at home, but he's forgotten his place there. He's forgotten who he is there, amen? Because he decides to go home, we've read it. He decides to go home, yes, but he decides to go home with this story, ready to go, and an apology, and, you know, I'll just ask my dad, can I work as one of his hired servants? He forgot. He's not a servant in that house, amen? He's forgotten who he is and his worth, amen? Church, we need to always remember and be mindful of who we are in Christ. I want to remind you of that this morning. You are a child of the Most High God. You are above and not beneath. Amen. You are the head and not the tail. You are cloaked with the cloak of righteousness. Amen. You are blessed and highly favored. So often, Christians, we see them, they go out into the world, they get dragged down with the temptations and the distractions of life, and they forget who they are. Amen? We can't allow that to happen, church. We need to always be mindful of who we are. We need to always stay connected to the source. We need to always stay at the well. And I love this story because the beauty of it is when the younger son returns, the father, yes, welcomes him, but he also doesn't hesitate to remind him of who he is. Look at verse 22 again. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. You see, the father was quick to remind him, whoa, you're not a servant in this house. You're my son. And you are going to have the best robe. You bring the best robe. He tells him, bring the best robe. And what I love on this is he tells him, and put it on him. He didn't say, just give him the best robe. He said, bring the best robe and put it on him. He didn't want the son just to take the robe and throw it over his arm or swing it across his shoulders. No, he wanted it on him. Because the father, don't we all want the best for our children? How much more does God want for us? Amen. God wants his children to have the best. How do I know that? Well, it says it in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Amen. God wants you to have the best. Amen. If we want our kids to have the best, so much more does God want us to have the best. Amen. And this father in this story who represents God wanted his son to have the best. He wanted him to have the best robe and put it on him. Amen. It's like he's saying to the boy, no more rags for you, my son. You're home now. You will wear the best. Amen. And God is saying to you this morning, church, do not settle for the rags. Amen. Do not settle for second best. You are a child of God. Amen. And he wants you to have the best. And I was teaching a couple of weeks back, don't settle for Sodom. Amen. God wants so much more for you. Amen. So he said, put the robe on him and put a ring on his hand. In those days, rings were given by dads to their children. And he would have been given a ring when he was born. And the idea was that the ring, he grew up with the ring, and the ring was made bigger as he grew. And then when he eventually became a man, he had the ring. And on the ring was the family's coat of arms. And the ring in those days signified three things. It signified authority, it signified a name, and it signified access. So if the son had this ring, well, then he had authority. He could represent the family wherever he went. He had the authority with this ring, okay? If he had the ring, well, then he had the family's name. This man belonged to that family. And if he had the ring, well, then he had access. You know that ring brought him access. He had access to all his family's wealth as long as he wore that ring. What they used to do was if they went, it was essentially like a credit card today. He went out and if he bought something for himself or for the family, he would just stamp the ring into the wax and it would just be charged to his father's account. Whatever he bought would be charged to his dad's account. It's a little bit like if you have daughters today, you know? Hugo, you're in trouble, boy. Church, you have the ring, you have the authority, amen? You already have the ring. So you have the authority. You need to start walking in your authority if you're not. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Over some of the power of the enemy? Over three quarters of the power of the enemy? Over all the power of the enemy. And what do you have over all the power of the enemy? You have authority. Amen. You don't shy away from anything because you have authority. Amen. You also have a name, church. You have the ring, so you have a name. You are a child of the Most High God, as we said earlier. Amen. Galatians 3:26 says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Amen. So you have authority, church. You have a name. And you have access. Amen. You have access. Your father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And you have access to that. Jesus went to the cross, amen, so that you could have access to healing, forgiveness, and eternal life. You have that ring, church. You have access to it, amen. So he calls for the best robe, he calls for the ring, and then he calls for shoes, amen. Put shoes on his feet. This man was not having his son walk around barefoot in the mud and the filth, possibly walking on something sharp or something dangerous. That's not going to happen to his son. You know, church, you've been given the shoes of the gospel of peace, amen. You can have peace in all situations, amen. You can stand firm. When something comes against you, you do not have to be shaken. You do not have to slip or you do not have to slide. You can be sure-footed, amen, if you're wearing those shoes that God has given you. Is this not good? I feel like you're not as excited as I wanted you to be. Anyway, I'll continue. The son had lost sight of all this, okay? He'd lost sight of it all. He'd forgotten the robe, the ring, the shoes. He'd forgotten it all. And now the father is restoring it all back to him. And he's reminding him of the things he has forgotten about. But not only is the father welcoming him back and reminding him of everything, now he's going to kill the fattened calf and they're going to have a party, you know, man? They're going to have a party. But however, meanwhile, back at the ranch, there's a problem, okay? So everything sounds good, but we have a problem. Shall we read the problem? Luke chapter 15, let's continue in verse 25. Now his older son, see, he had two sons, remember? The younger one went away, forgot, remembered, came back. Things are restored. But the older son stayed behind, stayed working in the field, stayed with his dad, okay? Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what things these meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. See, the older son, he remained. So he's working away in the fields. He comes in. He hears the music and the dancing. He's wondering what's going on. He asks the servant. The servant is probably excited because the father is excited and, you know, there's a buzz around the place. The boy is back and, you know, and he tells the son, this, oh, it's great. You know, we're having a party. Your son or your brother is back safe and sound. Your father's excited. We've killed the fattened calf. But you see, this was like red rag to a bull with the older brother. Amen. He's furious. I wonder what does his furious look like? You know, when you get angry, what does it look like? I know you. None of you get angry, of course. I know you don't. No. I know you don't. No. You're too sweet to get angry, yes. Okay. Was he shouting and pouting? Was he slamming doors? Was he banging things around? Was he stomping his feet? What was he doing? Well, we don't know what he was doing, but we do know one thing. His anger caused him to refuse to come inside. He was not coming inside. So the father comes out to plead with him. This father, he represents our God so much, doesn't he? Even when he refused to go in, the father came out. The father left the party, the happiness, the excitement, to come out to deal with the other boy. Amen? But he's just too angry. The father pleads with him, but he's just too angry. All these years I've been slaving away here, doing everything you say, and you never even offered me a goat that I might have a party with my friends. And now this guy comes back after leaving you, after squandering everything, and you welcome back with open arms. You kill the fattened calf for him. See, this was a bone of contention with him because in those days, the fattened calf was the most expensive delicacy. So here now he's seeing this has been killed and they're having a party and he's thinking, whoa, up. Because usually if the fattened calf was killed, something very special was going on. And usually in those days, the whole village were invited in. So this is a costly party, amen? And this is all he can see. It's the greatest day of the father's life, and he's so excited. But all the older son can see is his inheritance just slipping away, amen? He doesn't care about the father's heart. Why? Because he has a wrong spirit. Why does he have a wrong spirit? Because, like his younger brother, he's forgotten. he's forgotten. Isn't that sad? He's forgotten in his anger, in his frustration, in his resentment. He's forgotten all that he had. Amen. I have served you. Like, that's slave and master talk, isn't it? I have served you. He's forgotten. He's free. You should give me these things. It's almost like, when I read this again, it's almost like he's in religion. Do you ever think about that? He felt entitled. I did this, so now I deserve that. Yeah. Amen? And for those of us who were brought up in religion, sometimes we can slip back into that. We need to keep reminding ourselves we're not in religion anymore. Amen? We don't have to do this to get that. Amen? You know, I pray, I go to church, I serve God. God, you need to answer my prayer now. If that's our mentality, that's the older brother mentality, and that's wrong. Amen? We don't obey in order to get things from God. You know, but the older brother, he's obeying, he thinks. But he's frustrated now when things are not coming to pass. And when we have that attitude with God, we're actually saying to God, you know, God, really, I just see you as my boss, not my savior. Amen? We're missing it, church. We're missing it. We're missing the grace. We're missing the unconditional love. We're missing the freedom that has been paid for. You know, we as Christians, if we believe in the gospel, if we as our gospel-believing Christians, we obey so that we can resemble God, so that we can get to know him better, so that we can delight in him. Amen? The older son has forgotten. He says, I served you. I served you. He's forgotten that he's free. And did you notice he says, look, these many years. He's speaking to his father, but he doesn't even call him father. He doesn't address him as father or dad or da or anything. He just says, look, these many years I have served you. He has forgotten who he belongs to. And he doesn't even say, brother, did you notice? He says, this son of yours. It's like he's not even acknowledging being in the same family. He's forgotten who he is. Church, don't ever forget who you are, amen? Don't ever forget who you are and what you have. And the father is so sweet, he attempts to diffuse the situation. And I love the way he does it, tenderly but firmly. And I feel that's how God deals with us, doesn't he? Tenderly but firmly, amen? In verse 31, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. The father straight away gives him his proper title, son, his proper status. You're not a slave. You're my son. Amen. Son, you are always with me. He's reminding him of who he is. You're my son, and it's all yours. It's all yours. Church, if you are a believer in Christ today, then you are his child, and it's all yours. Amen. God is saying to you today, son, it's all yours. Daughter, it's all yours. Just don't forget. Amen. Yeah, amen. The dad said, everything I have is yours. And that was the literal truth, because you remember he divided between the two sons. And the younger son, the Bible says, took all that he had and left. So whatever was left then behind was the older brother's. Amen. So the older brother had it all. It was all his. But he had forgotten. Amen. He had forgotten. You see, the younger son threw it all away and forgot. But the older son stayed behind and forgot. Amen. He had the best robe. He has the ring. He has the shoes. He has the authority. He has the name. He has the access. But he has forgotten. Amen. Church, you have the authority. You have the name. You have the access. Don't forget it. Amen. The younger brother took a bucket of water out of the well and walked away. Amen. He was at the well. He took a bucket of water and walked away. Now, the older son is still living at the well. He's still living with the source, but jealousy and anger and resentment is causing him to forget who he is and what he has. And just as a side note, don't settle for a bucket of water, by the way, when you can have the entire well. Amen. Luke 15, verse 32, it was fitting, the father says, to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Again, the father responding tenderly but firmly, he reminds him, he's not just my son, he's your brother. Yeah. Amen. He's your brother and he's back. This is a reason to celebrate, and I want you to come and join in the feast. You see, the father's love is unconditional. The father is able to forgive the older son just as quickly as he forgave the younger son. He's filled with compassion for both. You see, the father loved the one that went away and forgot, and he loved the one that stayed and forgot. Amen. And you know, the parable ends here. Did you ever notice that? It kind of ends on a cliffhanger, doesn't it? It's a little bit frustrating, I think. When we get to heaven, I might have a word with Jesus about that. We don't know how the older son reacted. Did he go into the feast, wrap his arms around his brother and say, "Welcome home, bro"? Or did he go back out into the fields and continue to sulk in his anger and frustration? We don't know. But we do know one thing that those boys had in common. They were both guilty of forgetting. Forgetting who they are. Forgetting what they had. Forgetting who they belong to. Amen. Let's not be guilty of the same thing. We've watched it too much, guys. Too many Christians are crawling through life, carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, all because they have been tricked into forgetting who they are. We have the victory. Did you know that? In case you didn't know that today, we have the victory. Amen. But yet, Christians walk around in sickness. They allow sickness to beat them because they've forgotten that healing is readily available. You know, they walk around bound up in afflictions and addictions, you know, because they've forgotten Jesus bought freedom for them on the cross. Amen. They're allowing their relationships to come sour because they're not allowing God to come in. The three cords, remember, the threefold cord is not easily broken. They're walking around in poverty because they've forgotten God wants them blessed and prosperous. They've been pulled here, they've been pulled there. They're stressed to the Pepsi Max. They don't even know how they got to where they are. All because they've allowed themselves to be tricked into forgetting. Amen? Some of them are like the younger brother. They've walked away. So they've walked away from fellowship. They've walked away from church. They're not in regular fellowship anymore, and they've forgotten. They've forgotten, amen? They're not sitting under teaching anymore, regular teaching where they can be reminded, so they keep forgetting, amen? You know yourself. If you learn something and then don't use it or practice it, you'll forget, won't you? I'm an awesome guitar player. Did you know that? I know how to play the guitar, but I can't remember. I took lesson after lesson. I played, but I've forgotten. But I do know one thing, that if I took that guitar up seriously again and started to play again, it would all come back. And it's the same with God. When those prodigals out there come back to God, he will be there with open arms to kiss them, embrace them, forgive them. Amen. And then you have those that are like the older brother. They're still in church, still coming to church every week, but they've allowed themselves to become sour. You know, they've been believing for something, it hasn't come to pass. They've been waiting on something, they felt entitled to it, hasn't come to pass, and now they're getting annoyed. Or somebody in church has said something to them or offended them in some way, or they've got offended with someone, or they've got offended about something that was said or something that wasn't said or something that was done or the way the church was decorated, and they've forgotten. It's caused them to forget. Offense will cause you to forget, amen? Offense will cause you to forget. So they become angry and frustrated, and the offense keeps bubbling away in them like a pot of boiling potatoes, amen? And they forget the blessings that they already have. They forget that everything they need is readily available. Amen. The two boys forgot. One went away and the world caused him to forget. One stayed and his frustration and offense caused him to forget. Let's not forget, church. It's so easy to forget. Amen. Yeah. That's why the Bible warns us against it. Remember when I was reading this scripture just popped into my head. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget. Lest you forget what your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And I love the New Century Version. It says, but be careful, watch out, and don't forget the things you have seen. Don't forget them as long as you live, but teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Amen. God knew that life would put pressures on us that could cause us to forget. And he's warning us, be careful. Be careful lest you forget. Because there are things in life that come against us that can cause us to forget. Amen. There are times when you could forget. You know, life throws things at you. You get hit with sore punches. Amen. Nasty punches. We get so consumed with what's going on in our life and the issues that we have that we forget who we are and what we have, amen? The Bible says, be careful lest you forget, because it's in the trying times that you need to remember who you are and what you have more than ever, amen? So church, stop living in the mess, in the poverty, the slop, the sickness, the bondage, the oppression, the depression. Be reminded, amen, you are blessed. And if this is an area you're struggling, because I was thinking about this during the week, okay, how do we train ourselves out of that? If it's an area that you struggle in, you know, maybe you do come across hard times and you do forget. We all do. But we need to train ourselves that as soon as we happen on a hard time, straight away we remember, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. Wait a minute, that doesn't have authority over me. Okay, so I just thought maybe a simple exercise to do is just to remember the ultimate blessing that you have. You are a child of God and you have been given eternal life. Because church, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, isn't it? Amen. You know, when you see things are not happening as you'd like or your prayers are not being answered, remind yourself, my eternity is secure. You know, when all is said and done, I'm destined for heaven. Amen. Where the Bible says every tear will be wiped away and death shall be no more. Because I believe that if you can remember that, even in your darkest days, it's like when you're going through stuff, that light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I have eternal salvation anyway. It's okay. I'm going to end up in heaven. Amen. So don't forget, that should still sparkle there, your salvation. And I believe as you remind yourself of that, you will eventually start to train yourself to remind yourself of other things. So when sickness comes against you, you will say, by his stripes, I am healed. I am his child. You know, when you struggle with guilt, you will say, his blood bought me forgiveness. Amen. You know, when you struggle with whatever it is that you struggle with, you will remember scriptures. They'll pop back into your head. You're struggling to pay a bill. He's my Jehovah Jireh. Amen. You struggle in the area of freedom. Well, whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed, isn't he? I believe that you will be able to remind yourself. But church, most importantly, don't forget. Remember that verse. Do not forget, because listen to me. If you forget, then it stops with you. Yeah. What about your children? Yeah. What about your grandchildren? Who's going to tell them? You're trusting them to the world out there then to tell them, amen? So don't forget, amen? Don't forget. Be careful, it says. Watch out and don't forget the things you have seen. Don't forget them as long as you live, but teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Amen.